throw on my coat, walk downstairs, and I'm like, how do I get into the water?
Right. You don't have rubber boots.
I don't have rubber boots. And
you
I look around
and buy some rubber boots.
Well, I see my wife's rubber boots. She's
those
a size.
Those aren't going to fit.
Six in women's. And I was like, I'm going to make this work.
Scotch.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 197 of Coffee with Butterscotch, the game dev comedy podcast, Butterscotch Shenanigans. I'm Seth, and I'm the games programmer.
I'm Adam, and I'm the grammar of prose.
I'm Sam, and I'm the art.
And this is a show where we talk about life, business, and working in the games industry. Today is April Dumbo's Day. 2019. This is April 1st, April Fool's Day, where everybody gets tricked.
Like, so we all feel like dumbos.
Yeah. Before we get started, we have a warning. Anything could happen on this show. There's going to be profanity, and we're going to talk about things. We're adults. You're an adult. Everybody's an adult. If you're not an adult, then you can't be. You can't listen.
Or you can, as long as you don't tell anybody.
Yep. Yeah, don't tell anybody.
I'm pretty sure that's how that works. That's how it worked when I was growing up.
Yep, that's definitely how it works for every kid. Yeah. Also, we would like to thank our supporters from moneygrab.bscotch.net who bought us some coffees to keep our bodies caffeinated throughout the podcast. Mm-hmm. We'd like to thank Maddie. We'd like to thank Mike, who said, don't spill it all in one place, which is good.
That's very good advice.
And we have done that on multiple occasions, so I appreciate that. Yeah. Nice reminder.
I think part of the reason Seth got this giant jug of water was because it's got such a wide base.
You can't
slap it over.
Yeah. Although if you do slap the whole thing over.
Oh, yeah, you're done.
That's a whole gallon
of water.
It's like
a tidal wave. It's bringing the flood into the office.
Well, it's got a lid on it, so it just has sort of a small opening. So it's probably not the whole gallon is going to come out at once, but
maybe.
If it did, that would
be. I have literally dumped just a straight up, completely full cup of coffee on the floor before. I think a month after we got in the office, I just brought a cup of coffee up. I just had it sitting down. I put it in the middle.
And you're like, the floor looks tired.
And I just smacked it and just the whole thing. 8 ounces doesn't seem like a lot of liquid, but as soon as it's on the floor.
Once you spread it out real thin.
Yeah.
The problem I've been having is that I accidentally this morning even hit the 12-ounce button on the little Robo barista downstairs.
Oh yeah,
and it fills the coffee cup literally
right to the brim.
Right to the brim, and so then you have this precarious act where you carry the coffee across. Now, and then it's so hot that you can't drink it, so you have to just sit there and sort of like sip it.
Yeah,
but with extreme sipping
what
power.
What you should get is, you know how like in a distillery there's those super long coily deals because the whole idea is you can cool it down with enough surface area. You need a straw like that.
That's crazy
super,
straw.
Like a crazy straw that's super crazy.
A
crazy cool straw for cooling. But also it's made out of like, I don't know, something really conductive like gold.
You need a golden crazy straw.
You're right, I do need this.
Now,
in my life.
I'm also that would solve the problem.
Now, Sam,
I'm
also noticing that the mug that you've selected today has a pouring spout on it.
Yes.
So I guess this is for.
It was even more troublesome today.
Because now you've got this really easy way to just accidentally pour your coffee right out.
To be fair, this was the only mug available downstairs when I got
Why
this.
Does it have a pouring
spout? I don't know. It looks like a measuring cup.
That's it weird. Does, and I don't understand it. It's clearly for drinking, and it's like no one's gonna drink out of the pouring spout. If it
Maybe
were on the side,
it's for drinking and sharing, because that way you fill yours to the brim, you bring it upstairs, somebody else has got their coffee cup, you pour half yours in there,
and then we just pour on the ground, finish the whole share it with step. The whole thing.
But again, Mike's specific instructions were not to do that. Don't spill it all in one place. Right. Spill it in two places,
which is more. That's what we were. We just solved it.
Oh, that's
spread the wealth.
Yeah.
Also, Irish Luck, new recurring supporter. Thank you very much for that. And we've also got a whole bunch of other recurring supporters who we'd like to thank as well. So you guys are keeping our microphones on. All right, on to life news.
We should also say thanks to all the people who've been buying up merch.
Oh, yeah.
We've been like a shipping just industry over here.
Yep. We're still on a merch purge.
Yeah.
Merch purge 2019.
April merch purge 2019. We're trying to get rid of all of our merch, so the prices are slashed down to the merch has bones, right?
Yeah,
it's like it's way down there.
Yeah, it's real gross, actually.
There's a lot of meat.
We use one of those really thin boning knives is what they're called.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yep.
Boning knives. Boning knife.
That's what they're called. It's an unfortunate name. But
it's exactly for getting out bones?
It's for basically getting stuff off of bones. You know?
How is it different just from a knife?
It's super sharp and thin, so you can like get in there.
You can really get in there.
Yeah. Is it flexible?
I don't know if it's flexible.
It's like a noodle. It's like a really sharp noodle.
I wanted one because I used to take bones out of a chicken when I wanted to, you know, like have a fun floppy entire chicken.
That's just fun time.
But that's a lot of fucking work, especially if you don't have a boning knife.
Interesting. I watched Gordon Ramsay yesterday.
He's
filleting
a
fish.
Yeah.
And he had one of those. It's a fish fillet knife, I guess, or filleting knife. And so they're super flexible. and he was like showing off how flexible it was, and then it just snapped. Half the blade just like shot across the room.
Cool.
He's bending. I was like, oh, okay. And he goes, so fuck me. Which I love Gordon Ramsay.
That's the appropriate reaction you've accidentally hurled a blade across the room.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he looked around because there were seven other chefs like in the room. And he's like, can I just...
Does anybody have a boning knife in them, in their body?
In your bones?
Yeah, so if anybody wants to get in on this deboned merch train, you could go to shop.beastcash.net.
We've done all that hard work for it.
Oh, it's like a floppy chicken over there. Just get on in there.
Flop around.
Watch out for flying blades. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about life. Talk about Sam's drain. Talk about drain.
So, yesterday, I wake up in the morning feeling all chipper. You know,
That's a Sunday morning.
That's how they get you.
Yep. That's how you know something bad's going to happen because you feel too good. So I get up and
the universe needs to put you back.
And I run around and I'm just kind of putting the house back together. And
this is after you took it apart, I
assume. Yeah, you got to do that every weekend. Take it apart, clean it.
It's like
it
a gun. You know?
Oil it. Yeah. It is. So I'm doing the dishes, doing all sorts of stuff. And then I'm about to head back upstairs because I got a phone call with a friend at 9 a.m. And at this point, it's 8:50. And I look out the backyard, and it seems like there's a small pond where my driveway used to be. Mm. And I'm like, I didn't.
It has been raining a lot.
It has been raining a lot. And I did not put a pond there. So I thought, oh, I probably have a blocked drain. And our drain is what's called a bucket drain, which is what they used to build apparently in like the 1900s. Literally, it's just like a huge hole in the ground. And then there's a spout that's actually not at the bottom of it, but sort of toward the top. And so the thing has to fill up a bunch before water starts leaving, right?
Seems that's like also how my air conditioner has a tray in it for catching water. And it also, like, it doesn't start leaving it because then it can, like, then go into the floor drain, mm-hmm. you know? But also it has to get to the top first before it leaves it. So we had some overflow problems.
Yes. Okay. Reason. So I'm not sure why this is the way this is.
I'm trying to envision the rationale, but okay.
I don't know. We've had to have it cleaned out a few times. And last time we installed... By installed, I mean just wrapped wire mesh around the top of it so that it catches like leaves and stuff. So I was like, oh, I probably just didn't clean it out yet.
Flick that thing off or something.
Gotta go and clean it off and then it'll just go. So problem is that there's this huge pool of water now that's like probably 2 or 3 inches deep and it seeps into the garage just a tiny bit. And so I'm like, okay, I need to get out there. I got about 7 minutes now before this call. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get this done. So I throw on my coat, walk downstairs and I'm like, how do I get into the water?
Right, you don't have rubber boots.
I don't have rubber boots, and
you
I look around.
Buy some rubber boots.
Well, I see my wife's rubber boots. She's
those
a size.
Those aren't going to fit.
Six in women's, and I was like, I'm going to make this work.
So did you just put for reference? On, like, you're probably like a size 10 men's or something.
12.
12.
Okay. So you put one on each toe.
It was, I run upstairs first, and I also grab the dish gloves because I'm like, I need to reach my hands in this disgusting pool. So I got these like pink hot rubber mitts on, and I run downstairs. Grab these galoshes that do not fit.
So somehow Diana has all the equipment necessary to do this, and you have none of it.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. But yeah, so I grab the galoshes and just sort of like just pull them onto my leg. And they're small enough that I just get the bottom of my foot in. And so it's essentially a galosh high heel at this point.
Oh, yeah.
So I get my high heel galoshes on, slap the garage door opener, and then go traipsing out. Basically catwalking out into this pool, and I'm thinking like there's a few possible really bad outcomes. One is that I roll my ankle and go down in this pool, which is just sort of replaying in my head.
You should have set up a camera just to keep an eye on this because you could have made some good YouTube.
That's true. To offset the cost of the medical bills.
Yeah. So I managed to sashay out there to the drain and then get it off, take off the mesh thing, and the water's not going down literally at all. And I'm like, well, shit. And now I'm out here in my galoshes we're holding this leaf.
I'm also
trap.
Envisioning the pure disappointment of you being like, yeah, like that's getting exactly this wire mesh off and then just watching it.
Just not doing anything. Yeah. So I managed to like dump all the stuff, get back inside, get my high heels off and get, you know, sort of cleaned up, call the plumber and found out that if you call a plumber on the weekend, if they come to your house, which I did not allow them to come to my house for this reason, it costs $250 for them to come visit. At all.
You got to make that weekend money.
Yeah, which is freaking wild considering a doctor's kind of, or a plumber's kind of like the doctor of your house.
And but also, like, it kind of costs you the same if they come on a weekday because then you got to take a day off at work because they're like, I'll be there, you know,
sometime.
Sometime.
It's I'm busy. Maybe I won't even show up. Mm-hmm. You know,
used to say
I'll right. be there between 8 and 8. So
get ready.
But that's 8 a.m. Monday, but not to 8 p.m. Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. Take the week up. Take cash in on those vacation days to save your weekend, buddy. Mm-hmm. So what happened then?
That's it.
You just,
still got to handle this.
I just
problem.
Got this whole this that's it. Pond. Mm-hmm.
So I guess something got in that hole that's at the top of it, I guess.
I don't know what the hell happened.
Maybe there's a little horrifying creature in there.
I don't know how it would get in.
When you reach your hand in to get the stuff out, it's going to get you.
Oh, gosh.
So basically.
I've been watching a lot of Blue Planet, too.
Oh, yeah. There's all these.
There's horrible creatures everywhere.
Yeah.
There's a fucking worm, which I just saw.
Is it the Bobbit
worm? I really
worm?
Like. Yes.
Yes.
So I really like Blue Planet, too, because like literally. Because the other Blue Planet was fucking stellar, but I kind of knew about everything in there because like I've always been into the ocean since a young kid.
Oh, and in the sequel they got to up the stakes.
Yeah, like ooh. Fucking everything was like a thing Avengers. I had never heard of or seen before. Like literally everything, including that fucking Bobbit worm, whatever it is.
Oh my god, they're horrifying.
It's this giant. I think they said like 5 foot long worm that just has these crazy jaws.
And it's like the Predator, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it looks exactly like the Predator, yeah. And it just like
its whole head opens.
Yeah,
up
its
into
head
a
opens,
mouth.
And it lays there like a bear trap. So its head is open, like waiting for a fish to come around, and then fish like comes swimming by, and it just fucking grabs them and pulls them under the mud like a tremor.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there's like bubbles like shooting everywhere, and, like the mud's moving around, and it kills like 5 or 6 fish a night or something. Just yeah. crazy. Christ. And it's just this horrible, gross worm.
Almost everything about the ocean you could turn into the worst horror story.
Oh my god, it's amazing.
If any of these things were on land.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
No. Just no. absolutely not.
No. I learned about caterpillar legs on Friday.
Caterpillar legs.
So you know how they have.
You mean the little chubby tubes they've got?
That's the thing. So I was like, okay, because they're a bug, which means they only have 6 legs, but they have.
But it's in a larval stage.
It's a larval stage, okay. But what's happening here? So the 6, they all have 6 little front legs, and those are the real legs.
And those are segmented, and they're like little hands.
They're like kinda. Little hands. Like whenever they're reaching up and grabbing stuff, it's like they got their little hands. That was, that's what turned into their actual like butterfly beautiful legs, you know?
Right. So you're like, what's going on with all these other weird things?
What are these legs for? So apparently. So it has no skeleton, and it has no exoskeleton, right?
Mm-hmm. It's just a that's why they're so tasty for birds.
Yeah, it's just like a
it's just a goo ball.
Tube, and that's why they're so tube. Like they look great. They're just so like fluffy and kind of pressurized.
Yeah, you just want to pet them.
Yeah, you just want to like rub them a little bit. So so I was looking at them, and then I looked up how these legs work, and they're called pro legs. Okay.
Because their legs were pros.
Because they're just dope legs.
Unlike noob legs.
Yeah. And so what they do is the way the pro leg works is actually there's only like 2 little muscles on it. So it can grapple essentially and then sort of ungrapple. Like those are things that it can do. And what it allows the caterpillar to do is actually it has to essentially grab onto another surface in order to have something to for the rest of its musculature to work against in order to move. Right? Because it has no thing to move from. Mm-hmm. And so it has to grab stuff to do it. So essentially the caterpillar turns everything it touches into its own exoskeleton for a brief time. Right. And uses that to move. And I was like, this is the trippiest, freakiest thing.
I don't need an exoskeleton. It's a stick.
Yeah. I thought maybe they're, you know, kind of hydraulic-y, like spiders or something. But apparently it's sort of like a pick your skeleton sort of situation. Mm-hmm.
So the caterpillar is kind of like the closest.
I guess that means for worms, the whole ground is their skeleton.
Yeah.
Probably.
I guess it's like the closest thing you can get to an octopus on land.
Is a caterpillar?
Yeah, because it's got a lot of legs. It's got no skeleton. It's delicious. Mm-hmm. You know, all those kinds of octopus mm-hmm. kinds of things.
You just want to rub it?
Yeah. So I want to talk about my weekend. So on Sundays, my wife and I have started turning Sundays into project day. And it's turned out really great where basically every Saturday we got a trailer board for the house. We're running like a production meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We go through our Trello board on Saturday and we're like, what are we going to be doing tomorrow? So we can make sure that we're, you know, prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And the rule is just like every Sunday, we got to do at least one thing that's going to improve our, you know,
house,
our home situation. So even if it's like, you know, go out, cut some of the like old grass or pull some weeds or just organize some things, get rid of some stuff, whatever it is, right? And so – today or yesterday was all about like getting our kitchen organized and getting rid of some like, you know how you kind of accumulate random pieces of just stuff. You mm-hmm. got like 1,000 different mugs that like come from various sources. Yep. Like maybe somebody gave you a mug 8 years ago and it just kind of goes into your cabinet or whatever. because on Saturday I opened up the cupboard and a thing just flew out at me, which means like you've got
too many things
in there, right? Nothing fits anymore. So one of the things that we did was the first of every month is going to be like, it's like a money day. You know, it's like go through all your finances, and make sure everything is square. And one of the things that I did quite a long time ago was I set up a simple account. So that's like this online bank thing. And I had set up a recurring transaction of just like, I set up this account as my sort of like play money fund. Mm-hmm. So I set up this recurring transaction, just every month, a little bit of money just goes over there. And I sort of forgot. Like, I just kind of forgot that that was going on because it's just a small amount.
It's the best way to do savings.
Yeah.
Where it just automatically happens and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, there it is.
Because I was reading about the financial independence movement, which is this idea that quote, financial independence is like being able to live off of your own money such that you don't have to work. Mm-hmm. And then whatever you're doing, you're just doing because you want to do it, right? So there's a whole like lifestyle on the internet of people trying to like hit this target. And some people have been able to hit that by like age 35, even just like working normal jobs.
Well, because it's a combination of being very frugal and then.
Right.
Yeah.
But you got to be clever and frugal. Yeah.
And they've got proper insurance and then probably also not getting a terrible health problem.
Not getting sick is one of the key things in the United States. And so one of the rules there is pay yourself first. So it's the idea of, you know, you should allocate your savings first and then build your budget around, you know, what you have instead of. What most people do, which is like spend as much as you can, and then at the end of the day, be like, "Well, I guess I'll save the rest."
Right.
Right. So you build your budget around your savings. So that was part of my thinking at that time was like, I'll just start like throwing some money over here into this like play money fund. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday I found it, like I stumbled across it and I was like, "Oh shit!" So I had kind of like a treat yourself Sunday. So I just kind of like marched around the house and I was like, "What has been just." What's been pissing me off that I want to just do? There's even stuff like my wallet is shaped such that it essentially snaps my credit cards in half. So
what?
So like it has these weird pockets in it that kind of like offset the credit cards vertically from each other, such that when I'm sitting down on my wallet, then over time all of my credit cards have developed like a crack through the middle, right? I was like,
because mine also has that structure, but does not have that
consequence. Maybe it's your butt.
I've got a very powerful, steely butt. and that combined with this wallet shape, I'm like, what? Why have I just been letting this be a thing?
That is a very good question.
So I found I treated myself, got a new wallet, $9.
Hey, boom. Very nice, beautiful.
Right? So this is, I'm feeling pretty good about it. Mm-hmm. But this is I think it's just a good tip, right? Like just take that, see if you can set up like a free account somewhere and you can just like auto move money over little bits at a time and then just cash in on it and give yourself like a Christmas in spring.
I was expecting something a little more extravagant than a $9.
I also,
that, there was a lot of lead up.
I was like, what is he going to buy?
I know, I got
8 minutes of lead up.
I did. I got like, I got a whole bunch of like odds and ends and things.
Okay.
But that was
just an example.
That's the one that I'm the most pumped about, but it only turned out to be $9. So I guess maybe I didn't need to like set aside an entire bank.
Did you need to save for a year and forget about it?
I'm a little frugal. But, you know,
that's how – it is something that I find funny about that movement is the frugality level is so high. Yeah. And I think there are certain aspects of that totally make sense.
Yeah.
Given if your goal is truly just to be able to, like, to live off of, you know, your money, of course, that means you're living super frugally off of that money also in the future. So that the idea of that when taken to an extreme, that lifestyle basically says, well, yeah, you do need a new wallet because it's snapping your credit cards in half. And, yeah, you could go buy a wallet for $9, but
– you could also invest that $9.
Exactly. So don't.
Because as long as your credit cards still work, you can just tape them back together. And you're good. Yeah, it is possible to take that to a little too far, I think. All right, so otherwise in the news, Levelhead's coming out this month. When?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Well, we know.
We know, and we're just going to
– We're not going to tell
We're going to Beyonce it, as the phrase goes, which is when suddenly – it just appears.
Although we're not doing it as effectively because I'm pretty sure there was like
we're not Beyonce.
Well, there's that.
Yeah,
but also I'm pretty sure for that there was literally no lead up whatsoever. No. Just like suddenly it appeared, and we at least triangulated a month.
We technically have had some lead up in that we've talked about Levelhead a little bit, you know, kind of here and there, a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. But we also said it's coming out in April,
just now.
Also that,
like a month ago.
So we're kind of Beyonce-ing it. I don't know if it's like a soft Beyonce.
Beyonce.
A soft Beyonce.
We're doing a soft Beyonce of this one. Mm-hmm. So you're never going to know. One day you'll wake up.
Level head will be every on Steam. Day your certainty will increase that it will be soon.
That's true.
You know?
Yes. Or you'll just have nightmares that you missed it.
There's that also.
And then you'll wake up and you'll be in a cold sweat.
Keep you on edge.
Yeah. We still have some things to do. So it's definitely not launching today.
No. Yeah. I got to make a new trailer. We got a bunch of bugs to fix. Got some new security stuff to put in there.
And I think it's safe to say it's not launching tomorrow because this podcast episode comes out the day after that.
Yep.
So, So I think we've got a few days covered now.
Yeah.
So this really narrows it down. also, today is quarterly review day.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this.
What about it?
What about it? Why do we do this?
Well, we do it on one hand because we're a business and we're required to by law.
Technically, we have to have quarterly review minutes once we're a corporation, right?
Because we're an S-corp.
Which weirdly has essentially no stipulations about
what you just have to have done it.
But also like when does that get checked? Who's checking this when?
I think it's just like – it's one of those things. It's kind of like GDPR, right? Like with GDPR, we have to know like who all of our providers are that hold on to our customers' data. Mm-hmm. So all of our third parties, you know, we have to know that they're GDPR compliant and all this kind of stuff. But we don't show that anywhere. That's just at some point. Regulators could be like, we don't believe that you're GDPR compliant, and I need to demonstrate that you are.
But when it comes to quarterly review minutes, for
business stuff,
because the fact that there are patent troll companies tells me that this system is not doing what it's intended to do, right? Because like, if you have a company that nobody really works at, and all it does is own patents, and
there are people who work there to sue people, mm-hmm. you know, that's just a bunch of lawyers that work.
True,
there.
But all they have to do for their quarterly minutes is just like.
Did we
sit down
people?
And be like, did we sue everybody? Yeah.
But I assume that you could be taking it much more aggressively than that as your troll company, you know, because you're trying to build a troll empire. So at your quarterly review, you got to find out like, are we growing fast enough? Have we bought enough patents? What's some like new range of patents and patent types that nobody's really cracked open in the troll sort of sector yet?
The answer to the question, are we growing fast enough, is always no.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're a business.
But I guess it's my question is like, who are the minutes for? Are they for us?
They're for us and our investors.
But we don't have any.
Well, we are the investors.
Oh, so
it's just for us twice.
So if you had investors or like a bank or something,
then you'd send that out.
See your notes? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because we're being a bunch of weirdos over here, none of it makes any sense.
But also because by being an S-corp, that puts us into a certain category where how the law treats us, where like, you know, we end up having different kinds of tax structures and whatever. And if we end up being a bunch of fuckos about it and like just taking money from the company in weird ways that are not allowed, like all kinds of stuff, right?
Then we got to make
trouble.
Right.
And so basically this is all basically us doing due diligence. So if the government suddenly is like, we think you're behaving as if you're people and not a company. Well, I mean, I know companies are people, but that's a different kind of people with
more rights.
So we're talking about, you have to make sure you don't pretend to be like a company, because you should only have as many rights as we let you have.
But then what if they check our minutes and then our minutes say, we're just going to take all the money.
Yeah.
That's
fine. Because that was part of the business strategy.
That was part of the plan now.
Yeah.
You got to stick to the plan. That's the point of
That's
the point of the minutes.
Okay.
So
bureaucracy,
aside from the legal side of it, what's the advantage?
We're not lawyers, so I'm not 100% sure about like.
Oh, yeah. This is all just made up. I don't. Yeah.
We were told we have to have minutes, I think.
We were told.
Who told us that?
Probably some
our
lawyers.
Lawyers.
Oh,
okay. So the point for us is really to, I mean, we are so very much doing the work every single week that if you don't plan these sort of moments where you basically take a big step backward and just, basically what we do is we just get a room for the whole day and then.
Did we get a room, by the way?
A Roomba?
A room, by the way.
Oh, I don't know if we did. It's a good question. We have to figure that out.
We have to just go for a long walk.
Yeah, an 8-hour walk.
8-hour walk.
Yes, we get a room or get some location of some sort and then basically just talk about – we go over a number of things. We have a structure to it that sort of reviews the past quarter's accomplishments, checks in with the roadmap, which we then update as well to see that we're sort of on track with what we think we should be doing on the really high level. And then we dive into a lot of production, like overhauls and things like that. So we do this question of where's waste coming from in the organization, which comes from the DevOps handbook. And then also just dive into like, what do we think is our problem now? That's usually what it is. What's our problem, you know?
Yeah, you could sit around all day and pat yourself on the back for all the things you think you're doing right. But the conclusion of that conversation is always, all right, we'll keep doing that.
Yeah.
So that's not really – It's weird because
you should be looking for all the things you're doing wrong.
Yeah, it's weird because you basically spend a whole day talking about all of your failings.
All of your failings,
all the ways things are going wrong, all the ways things will go wrong. Mm-hmm. Even all the ways that the things that you're doing well might turn around and bite you in the ass later.
Yeah.
You know? So I think depending on your perspective on it, you might walk away from this conversation thinking like, this was very negative. but it's all for a purpose.
Well, I think the key is that you don't just arrive at, oh, here's all the things that are fucking up. You make a plan.
You make a plan.
And you do those simultaneously on the same day.
And it's all about mitigating future risk also.
Yes. So they tend to be a lot of fun, actually. I usually enjoy them a lot because it's
– something always comes out of it.
Interesting stuff always comes out. So I'm really excited to get into it today. And I think just getting that time to really step back away from the day-to-day work is really important for like doing anything. But running an organization of any scale, basically.
Yup. Yep. Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be good. It's kind of like – we talked in the past about how doing the podcast every week is a nice way for us to step away from the work and zoom out a little bit and just kind of talk about higher level things. So this is even higher level than that.
You know, like $9 wallets.
You got to get that out. Mm-hmm. You got to get that out into the universe.
You got to see that opportunity.
Yeah. My only worry is that apparently this wallet is RFID blocking, and so my building card may no longer work through my wallet. it may be okay. So we got some testing.
What's the idea with the – is it because people can
– apparently, since your credit cards have a RFID chip in them, then people are now using RFID readers to like take your shit.
But does it work with the chip?
They have to get real close though. Do they like spank you with it?
No, they don't have to like hit you with it. They just need to be near the –
That's for those cards that you can just like tap on the thing or whatever, which I don't think I've ever had one of those. Or maybe all my cards do it and
they
just have
to – They probably all do it. If they have the chip in it, usually they do it now.
I thought the chip has to be inserted.
I don't know.
It's got to like touch those weird little gold.
I don't know. I wasn't buying it for the RFID. It just has it. So, you know, we'll
see. I'm just
curious
about the mechanisms of stealing this because you have to get real close for the RFID.
Yeah, just smack people in the butt.
That's what I was saying. Like, I feel like you got to get almost as physical as taking a wallet from someone.
But think about that. Like, if you're on like a crowded subway train and you feel like a tap on your butt and you're like, oh no. And then you reach and you feel your wallet. You're like, oh, okay, it's still there. Right. Mm-hmm. And then turns out it's not. Because your wallet is actually digital and you didn't even know it, right? So anyway, I'm not really concerned about that, but it's just a problem. So anyway, final piece of news for the day is Star Citizen. This is a game. This game has been in development since before our studio existed. This game
since 2011.
Started in development in 2011. So it's been going for 8 years strong. It's raised hundreds of millions of dollars. It's been in the news pretty much constantly since its inception. After 8 years of development, they finally developed the technology. Okay.
Wait for it.
To add women to their game.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, guys.
Really kudos.
Very impressive.
Up until now, it has only been possible to play Star Citizen as a male character.
Yep.
So their most recent update, they added an entire planet and women. So that's kind of like – and they've been adding planets and spaceships and entire new
systems
game modes.
Yeah. The whole time.
Yeah. I think this – there's not much else to say about it just in terms of like it's so obviously crazy.
Yeah.
I think. But it does highlight just how problematic.
Yeah. It does. And I was also interested in looking at all the sites that have been reported on this patch because, you know, it's a – every time they put out a patch, that's people talk about it, and how just like that fact was like nobody seemed to
nobody commented about
how weird it was that it took this long for this to happen.
People are like, great, there's a new patch coming out. There's a whole planet. Also, there's women now for the first time.
Yeah,
didn't Rock Paper Shotgun make fun of them now?
But it was like the very gentle like pokes. Yeah. It wasn't anybody just being like the fuck, because that was the
right
to me the proper response. But it was interesting because this is the argument that you see constantly from AAA studios when they don't have playable female characters in their games. The classic explanation is, well, we didn't have the budget to make both male and female characters. And if you look at this patch, what they basically said they had to do was they had to go sort of like retrofit. They had to go back through every system in the game and make it work with these like new female like. Separately rigged, separately animated characters, right? And so, basically, without them coming out and directly saying it, they're using that same case where they're just like, it's just so expensive to add another kind of character that we just couldn't do it until here we are $500 million in 8 years.
Right, but the subtext there is it's expensive because we never planned on it.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Like,
yeah. It's a tech debt problem.
Yeah, because going back and retrofitting your system that was never intended to have female
then
characters.
Of course it was that's really the problem. Hard and expensive.
Right. That's the problem.
Yep.
Come on. Anyways. All right, let's get on to some questions. Wild. These questions come from our listeners over at podcast.beescotch.net. If you'd like to get your question on a future episode, you can go there and then put it in there. People will vote on it, and then something happens.
Yeah.
All right, let's get started. First question comes from Creator Red A. Can you do a live demo of your Butterscotch Shenanigans tune?
In order to do it, it would only be Sam and Seth because I actually was not part of it.
That's right.
We didn't get you in there?
Uh-huh. Nope.
I was still. I did the scotch.
I did the tur.
Sam did the tur, and we went back and forth a bunch of times because we couldn't figure out if it was supposed to be dur or tur.
We originally had a dur.
It was like butter scotch.
Turned out butter to sound
butter,
real dumb.
Butterscotch. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And then actually, Patrick Fat Bard sings the Shenanigans as a chorus with himself.
Yeah.
So we don't actually have all of the equipment needed to execute the jingle.
That's true. I also have an allergy to being told
you
to
put,
sing,
to
perform.
Put on the spot.
Yeah.
Dance.
Yeah.
Dance, Adam.
Exactly. Even if I wanted to, then I would not.
Should I be? Should I tell the hat dance?
You should story. Tell
the hat. I think it's It's all right. Time.
All right, everybody, listen.
Take us back.
We're episode 197 now. It's time to finally reveal my dark past. Mm-hmm. I also have that same thing where if somebody commands me to entertain them or perform or whatever, I'm immediately like, no, I don't want to do it. So when I was, I think 4 or 5 or something like that, we had a big family reunion where about every 5 years, we have this giant extended family that's all over the country. About every 5 years, they get everybody together. It's like 150 people. And have a big get together, and there's all kinds of like games and just food and yeah, it's just a big
it's party. A great time.
Things like skid loader races, it's farm stuff, but it's awesome. So one of the things that was at this particular event was a lot of the family all had kids around the same age, around my age at the time, and they decided it would be great if everybody commanded their children to perform a dance, and so they found this weird song about having a hat, and it was this guy.
I've got a hat.
Got a hat. A hat.
Yep.
That's the chorus.
That's all I remember. Then you also put your hat forward, and then you pull your hat back.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then you pick your hat up and down, up and down, up and down.
And then flip it around. Yeah. So basically, like they got this song where basically the lyrics of the song were explaining what you're supposed to do with your hat.
It's like a hokey pokey.
Which
is useful for children because that way you just do what the song tells you to do.
Right. So that was basically the thinking. The adults were like, this will be cool. Our kids, we'll throw them up on stage. We'll give them all these oversized hats.
Videotape them.
We'll videotape them.
So cute.
We'll videotape them. And whether they want to do it or not, that's not our concern, because we're the adults here and we get to just force children
and
to
these
do
are our property.
For our, for our whims. So I was opposed to this. I was like,
how
I
old
don't,
were you?
I was 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I don't want to go on stage, wear a hat, and dance around in circles for everybody else's amusement. And
as a child, I am not here for this.
I'm here for playing, okay? That's my agenda for the day. You can't just derail my whole fucking plan. Mm-hmm.
I came in here with the plan. I got a schedule. I got to meet with these other children over the playpen.
I've got a 2:30 jungle gym date, and that goes until 4 p.m., mm-hmm. and then I've got nap, and you can't just throw my whole day into disarray like this. So there was a big back and forth about this. I was like, no. Their parents were like, yes. And then that was
back and forth.
That was the back and forth because because the logic, like as a child, you can't argue against this because all the parents have to say is, I'm telling you to do this. Mm-hmm. And regardless of your
– you don't have any rights.
Yeah. Regardless of your rationale, it just doesn't fucking matter. Right?
Also, you probably can't articulate your rationale very well as a 4 or 5-year-old.
But here's the problem.
You can't get much further than I don't want to.
Right. Mm-hmm. But like that should have been all that was needed.
Yeah.
Because if somebody's like, I want you to dance on stage and you're like, but I don't want to. And then that should be like, oh, okay, well then, I guess don't. Well,
maybe, but I mean, children are also notorious for not wanting to do most things that would be positive.
Most things that
you gotta make them do
most
stuff.
Things that are good for them.
Most things generally that someone
tells most things,
do,
right? Yes. So this might have been one of those cases that
I think just, like,
that didn't apply to.
Yeah, and it just sort of everything falls into that same circle where at some point you're like, look, I'm telling you to do things, and you do the things because it's important for you to do the
That's
things.
That's how this relationship
regardless
works.
Of what it becomes, you know, at the end of the day.
And so I end up on stage. I'm there. I'm in the middle.
Bright lights.
Bright lights are there. I'm sweaty. It's a hot summer day. and all the parents are there. There's like 50 people watching. And there's a videotape. You know, the whole thing, it's a big production. Big production value. So all these other kids are doing their hat dance. And I stood defiantly.
And all these other kids includes me and Sam.
Adam and Sam are there doing the hat dance.
To be fair, I remember literally nothing of this.
I also didn't mind it at all.
Yeah. This was a formative moment of my childhood. And I stood there defiantly in the middle.
And didn't move.
And did not move.
You did smirk, though.
I smirked. Because I was like, I'm winning. You know, what I get to do now is I get to just throw a wrench right in the middle of this circus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm not doing the hat dance. And I'm going to stand there on video and make sure that it's known.
Which is the reason that I know anything about this is because of just the story, but then also because we have video proof of it.
Yeah.
Which is particularly hilarious.
So, you know, I feel like that really shaped me as a man.
It has been one of those, like, those stories that keeps sort of rearing its head, you know, in later life. It's like, tell me what happened in your childhood. The hat dance.
Mm-hmm. But this isn't to say – so I'm not a particular fan of, like, dancing just as an activity. I don't really do it a lot, right?
No, it is a little bit of a stretch to call that a dance, I think.
That was more of a performance.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I did, you know, in high school, for example, I participated in a choreographed dance for like a homecoming. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done these things, but by choice.
Yeah.
And that's the important that's the important takeaway. So anyways, I guess we're not going to sing the jingle.
No.
That's
the moral of the story.
All right. Number two, Tippy Fizz, Viri Boop asks, general life question, what's your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
Samoas.
Yeah, it used to be 100% Thin Mints.
Isn't that what Dwayne Johnson is?
He's Samoan.
He's Samoan.
Yeah. It's close.
Yeah. He's a Samoa.
But the Samoas.
That's my favorite Girl Scout cookie, too.
Yeah. They recently took over my top spot.
I'm a big fan of the Dwaynes.
The problem is
they're just
eat
the most
them.
Diverse in terms of their taste set.
Yeah.
You know?
But when I eat them now, I can only eat like three or four of them, and then my stomach actually hurts a little bit.
That's just the feeling of getting ripped.
That's true.
You know, apart
from the inside.
No, like you eat those Dwayne. Like what? Dwayne Johnson needs to eat like 6,000 to 8,000 calories a day. Like, mm-hmm. How do you think he's doing that? Fish? No.
100% Girl Scout cookies.
He's eating Samoans.
Uh huh. Fellow Samoans.
Samoas.
He's eating Samoans. It's cannibalism and Girl Scout cookies. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that fuel Dwayne Johnson's gains. Mm-hmm. So Samoas. My Secret Weapon asks, do games like Beat Saber in VR count as a workout? I play it like 3 or 4 times a week now that I have an Oculus Rift. And after about 30 minutes, my heart rate is up, my arms are sore, and I'm sweaty. But is it sufficient enough mm-hmm. to be considered working out?
I think working
Sounds
out,
like a workout.
Literally anything that isn't you sitting around is working out.
Yeah, it's basically once your heart rate is jacked up a bit for an extended period of time.
So also drinking coffee, that's a workout too.
Yeah, I don't think that quite counts.
I mean, by your definition.
But you said you can't be sitting around. So I think,
mm-hmm.
so basically like mm-hmm. rowing and cough and drinking coffee are not, those are not working out.
Well, rowing, you're still
No, because rowing, you're not just sitting there. You're sitting there and you're flipping your torso back and forth.
Mm-hmm. It's the flipping your torso. You're doing torso flips.
You're also like sliding back and forth. You know, there's not even a stationary element, really.
That's true.
You're more scooting. Than you are sitting.
Yeah.
You're scooting your
I feel like though,
like
if you were sitting
on the ground, you know?
If you're sitting around, I feel like that's a workout though, because that implies that you're sitting in lots of different places.
It's like a musical chair.
And like, how are you going to get there?
So if you're not walking, it's just sitting there.
See, if you're sitting there, that's not a workout. If you're sitting around, that's good because now you've got some travel time from chair to chair.
Yeah. I think, but also if you're only kind of shambling, that also doesn't really count. It's like if you're on an intentional walk where you're going from point A to point B, those things are like some
Right. So if you're sitting
around with power walking intervals.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's fine. That works.
It takes some strides. You stride from one chair to another. Mm-hmm. Sit there. Stride to another.
And if you wear a VR headset and flail your arms around while you're doing it, that's just bonus steps. And
you're working out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, there's Wii Fit. There's all kinds of stuff. I did a Wii Fit when I was in college. Mm-hmm. I got one so I could do, I don't know. I don't like.
They were just cool.
There was no point
to
that.
So new, you were like, what is this?
I was in college, so there was a gym already on campus. I don't know why I needed that, but I had one. And it did a good job. You know, I did the yoga thing, and they like track your balance, and then everything hurts.
My problem was I played it. So the only time I played Beat Saber, I realized afterwards that I had just locked my elbows essentially to my waist. And so I was just playing like this because I was used to playing with like a Wii Fit controller.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Which you could actually just flick your wrists. You don't have to do almost anything with any of the Wii controllers. And so when I played Beat Saber, I was basically doing the same thing, but you actually do have to move. And so I sort of ended up doing this weird like
stiff
armed torso.
Stiff upper arm.
Yeah, it's like a T-Rex playing this game. So I did not get a workout in the slightest, but I wouldn't doubt that if you're actually.
But I bet you looked awesome.
I think I looked so weird. That doing it. Unbelievable.
It's with your elbows tucked in and whipping your forearms around.
It was very strange.
Yeah, I think the key is there's just two sides of this question, which is one, don't gatekeep other people's exercise. You know, like.
Yeah, man.
There's the question of whether or not a thing is exercise, that's a bullshit question.
Are you sweaty?
Are you getting sweaty? Are you doing it? But even that, like. Do you think you're getting exercise? Okay, so that's part one. But part two is also don't lie to yourself about it. This is part two.
Are you sore?
part two is now on your end. So on one hand, don't gatekeep other people. If someone's like, hey, I exercise every day because I go on a mile-long walk. Because
I play Dope Beats and Beat
Saber. Or I play Dope Beats and Beat Saber. Then it's not in my position to judge whether or not that's really exercise. But on your position, you also shouldn't say, well, I walk. This is going to get me ripped, right? Or I play Beat Saber.
Therefore,
I'm going to definitely live until I'm 120, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, because the problem is, like, obviously not, because Beat Saber is going to, you know, at some point your Oculus is going to break down.
Yeah.
And then you're going to run out of beats.
Die now.
Yeah.
But also,
then your workouts are done.
But also because that game doesn't include any cardio.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no, like, running.
Well, right?
It probably is
pure cardio.
It's just that it's not going to be heavy.
You're not going to become Dwayne Johnson.
Exactly. Yeah. And you might not even become much more healthy than you already are.
So you could judge exercises by their ability to transform you into Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. The question isn't whether or not it's an exercise. The question is how much exercise is it and what are your goals?
Does it align with your goals?
Yeah. That's the real question. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're trying to go to the Olympics for powerlifting,
it's not going
to
help.
You need to broaden your horizons slightly past Beat Saber, but not much.
If you want to be able to run, you know, faster than somebody chasing you. You know, probably beat.
That's when you
got to
play.
The thing either.
Yeah, you got to play like Leg Saber, which is where you stand on your hands and you have lightsabers stuck to your feet.
Yeah, you just strap the Oculus things to your legs.
Yeah.
Does
the Oculus know
holy shit.
Does it know if it's upside down though? It must, right?
So what I'm thinking is
the Oculus is because if you're now standing on your hands, that like you're looking at the world upside down.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking. Because if you've done that ab exercise where you basically sort of you like sit on a bench and then lean so that you're basically forming a V and then you sort of stretch your legs out.
Yep.
And it's like brutal on the abs because you could do with Beat Saber.
So you get
on the edge of your couch, sit on the edge of your couch and lean back. And
or
then
just
strap,
on the floor also works.
Or on the floor. And then strap the Oculus things to your feet and then play Beat Saber that way.
Or should even at that point, just still do it on your hands, but just maintain that V position the whole time, you know?
Yeah, play Beat Saber while planking. You got to be doing one of those side planks. Do a V up. Yeah. Do squat. Do a squat between. Like whenever you get a break, like do three squats.
Hell yeah.
You know? Squat on the beat?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
That'd be a good hit workout.
Oh, my God. That'd be brutal. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
You'd be that much arm flailing around.
Yeah. So maybe the question isn't whether it's exercise, because of course it is. The question is, how far can you take it? You could really.
Well, because I think this is one of the sort of untapped secrets of VR when it comes to exercise, because
exercise is boring.
It's boring and it hurts. And so if you can be distracted from it by.
And also having a blast.
And having a great time. Then now you can actually truly ask these questions of like, just how far can I take it? Because it's sort of like how people are trying to use VR as basically a sort of a pseudo treatment for painful medical procedures and stuff. Because like they put headsets on you and you're just distracted by some beautiful environment because you're killing aliens or whatever. And they just can stab you in the back or like cut your butt off or whatever they're doing. And you don't even notice. Mm-hmm. It's just fine. So you can apply the same thing to exercise.
Yeah. Be careful wearing your VR headset. Someone might come in and just cut your butt off.
Someone's going to cut your butt off.
You won't even know it.
I'm pretty sure that's a medical procedure.
Until you're buttless.
Yeah, it's a butt.
A buttectomy.
Buttectomy. All right, next question comes from Biggie Baba Boop. How will you test what will happen when people are jerks in Levelhead? I wouldn't want to test it because I don't want to get banned.
We actually asked our testers to test it.
This is why we pay internal QA.
Yeah.
So that we can do terrible things to their data and their accounts and their profiles, like ban them, delete their levels. Mm-hmm. And they just got to keep playing.
Yep.
You know, because
no matter what happens,
that's their job.
Yeah.
You know, if we just ban random people or during our pre-alpha, that's probably not as good.
Yeah. But there will be a testing phase that, because a lot of this has to do with scale.
Yeah.
And like in the exact tweaking of what the numbers mean, right? Because we're collecting, we can already collect reports. Wait, can we yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can already collect reports. But we don't yet have a way to like
do something about that.
We can delete
levels easily.
Yeah. Yeah. But for example, see the list of reports like ranked by something. We don't have that actually in place. That's actually the thing we're tackling this week. But even once we do, you know, the question is like, if something's been reported once, is that fine actually? You know, like what's the threshold at which we need to actually look at a thing? And those are the kinds of questions that we actually can't really address until this thing goes live and people start using it, because that'll tell us kind of what it means for somebody to report a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean on average that that thing is actually a problem, or does that mean on average that people are sort of misunderstanding the purpose of reporting?
Well, we did have a very funny thing happen during the alpha, which is some of the levels are hard. And of course, a lot of the player made levels in particular are very hard.
Yeah.
Because it's much harder to make a balanced level than it is to make it something that's very difficult. And so frequently the joke in the Discord was someone, because the button that you see when you pause the game is report offensive content. And people jokingly would be like, oh man, I kind of want to report this as offensive. Yeah. It's so fucking hard.
It's so hard. That's the other thing we're worried about.
So yeah.
We need to move the report button like way out of the way, mm-hmm. so that it's not like right there in your face when you're first the most frustrated with a level.
And so it doesn't say offensive content, because people apparently are reading that.
Right. Yeah.
So it's too broad of a framing. The problem is if you just say report it, then people will be even, I think, more likely just to use it.
Well, what you need is, you know, it says like the hover text or whatever, it needs to say, you know, report code of conduct
confirmation
violation.
Message and then, or something.
Yeah. Got confirmation message explaining what this means.
Yeah.
And then you can go through with it.
And then also have, you know, punishments for misreporting or something, which is probably some future step we'll have to also take. Because it's going to be – so what we do have with the aliases, because actually there's a bunch of stuff that people can report, right? There's levels and there's usernames. So there's two things people can report.
Well, that's a bunch. That's the smallest bunch possible.
That's true. So with usernames, so we actually track every – so like if you report something, we just store that for like 30 days, right? So like I just have expired because I don't even know that shit forever. But the idea there is that if somebody were to get brigaded or something, that we now have the list of all the people who brigaded that person,
yep.
Which means now we can –
so if we detect it, that's what happened.
Now we can punish that list. Yeah. And that's actually probably – we'll end up having to build mechanisms like that to deal with a lot of this, because I think there actually aren't – as a fraction of people, there aren't that many people who misbehave with respect to these kinds of features. Right. It's just that there are enough, and those who do misbehave a lot, that it becomes actually – it becomes basically impossible immediately to separate out like the real stuff from the fake stuff by volume. But as soon as you just start aggressively – banning people who are misusing the tool, then I think actually it can get cleaned up pretty fast.
Yeah. And it's weird though, because you have to assume that every level that gets made is going to have some baseline number of reports for no reason.
Yeah. But it depends on how many people are going to see it. Because if 2% of people falsely report any level that they think is hard or whatever, right? Or just every level they see because they think it's funny, right? Then that means that any given level has to be played by, you know, really a few hundred people, just for like to make sure we hit that number where like when we see a report, it's actually probably because of that.
Yeah.
Then the numbers get really weird.
Yeah. And then you got to do stuff like we've talked in the past about how muting is our favorite moderation concept, where you basically let the person keep doing the thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
And what they don't realize is that like nothing's happening on the other end.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I love muting people on Twitter. It's just one of my favorite activities.
It's just the best.
Whenever someone's just kind of mean to us, I'm like, nah,
not anymore.
I don't need this. Literally don't need it at all.
Actually, right. Yeah, on that note, speaking of, did we talk about April Fool's Day at all? No. But it did. Today is April Fool's Day, right?
Which is sort of like the games industry's favorite day of the year.
Which, some great stuff comes. So somebody posted in the chat yesterday from Corsair. I want to say. Mm-hmm. Their April Fool's thing was a game launcher that ties all of your game launchers together into one mega launcher, mm-hmm. et cetera. So very well done, very hilarious. But what I was most amused by was the replies to it, because a weird like 25% of responses were people angry about it not being April 1st. And then arguments about time zones.
Right. Because they posted it at the end of the day, sort of like Pacific time.
Yeah.
March 31st.
Yep.
Which means in half of the countries of the like in half of the world. Not half the countries, actually
but
half the
according
world.
According to this by you know, this really angry guy, he's like, yeah, but it was published in California where it is definitely not April 1st. So this is anyway, so this, right. so there this was happening, yeah, and then this guy muted him, and then so he was ranting about being muted just for disagreeing about this. We're like, this isn't a platform for you to. I just found it so interesting and baffling,
but it's remarkable that because this video, I was laughing my ass off.
That was great.
It was so well done, and they basically, yeah, if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's this Corsair game launcher video. Essentially, they parodied everything that's just going sideways and dumb about the games.
They also made it so that you could now you have this, you know, infinite list of games that you don't play. So now you can recycle them by combining multiple games.
You can't get a refund.
They have a refund button. It just doesn't do anything.
Yeah, but you can recycle them.
You can recycle them. And so you can now take three of your games that you don't want anymore. You mix them together. Then you get a loot box. And that loot box
has a new game that you don't want.
That's fantastic. And then the one that they spat out in their example was then a duplicate of one they already had. It was good.
Yeah, and they had a bunch of fake game titles on there, like Sass Effect and shit like that. yeah, they were like, and also, you know, are you having a hard time managing all your friends lists? Well, now, anytime one of your friends comes on any one of your 15 platforms, you'll get this pop-up alerting you. And so then they showed like one person logged in, but like 15 pop-ups stacked up on the screen.
And they just started like flying around.
Yeah, and then – and they're like, you can also press shift tab to bring up the overlay for every single launcher you have at the same time. And it's like Steam and Discord, like all these overlays that like appear on the screen. And then the person's like moving windows trying to find
like a gateway. Oh my gosh. I need to watch this. Yeah.
It's so good.
I watched, I saw Leagues yesterday, which they announced it's the kitty versus puppy version of the game.
Nice.
Where
they actually changed the game for theirs, don't they?
Oh yeah. They add a game mode called Earth, which is ultra rapid fire. Basically, the cooldowns almost become zero for all abilities. And this one, they added a cannon right next to the start of the game. So you just hop in the cannon and then you just point to where you want to go and it just fucking shoots you across the map.
This is awesome.
It's amazing. It's so fun. And then
wait, is their slogan for this game mode, Welcome to Earth?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. It was. So, and every year they do something slightly different with it. But yeah, this year they had like this, it's like this kitty versus puppies situation. So they reskinned a bunch of the characters into just these adorable things.
Yes.
And then they had a little video that was like a 2-minute video that is the kitty versus puppy pageant. And so it's all these characters like doing their moves, but being super duper cute. And one of them is the character's name is Rengar. And he's like this huge lion thing that essentially stalks and like kills people in the jungle, right? So he's kind of like the predator. But like this really creepy lion with like one eye, and he comes out. He's in like a pink hoodie, and it comes out on a Roomba because he's a cat. Right? So he comes out on a Roomba, and then at the end of it, for his final thing, he throws down a box, and then like takes like 30 seconds walking around inside of it to get comfortable, and then sits. And everyone's like, "Oh my god!" Like and so they did such a good job with it, right? And I was like, I want this. I want everything in this video.
And then, of course, there was like 2% of people who were just really angry about this whole thing.
Well, that's whatever it is, you know.
That's – yeah. Well, it's just like the reporting on levels, right? Like no matter what happens and how great it is,
you just got to be angry.
There's going to be a couple of people who just can't – they just can't, you know? They can't have it.
And they just won't.
They can't. They won't. They're gonna be yelling on Twitter, whatever.
I'm really excited for today. I'm going to keep my eyes peeled for all the good announcements and stuff coming out.
Yep. Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Yeah, I think someday, once we have like the time and the resources, we need to start really investing in something.
Well, I think that's what's so impressive about this because like –
the production values are very high.
Yes. And so many of the games actually build full – like this League thing. Like they build a new game mode and full skins that you can, of course, at this point you can buy. So they treat it actually as like a –
Levelhead is going to be a really good platform for doing April Fool's shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just like
– good platform.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. Good to be good. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing you have to be careful of as a game company is when you make your April Fool's joke, that because you make the joke because it's so outrageous, right? And it's like you always have to convey it in a deadpan way, and you're like, mm-hmm. here's what we're doing with our game now. Now, you have to be careful that then like 10 years later, your philosophy on game design hasn't changed so much
that it matches
that is now what your game is. Because this happened in World of Warcraft in several different dimensions. So like, for example, they had a April Fool's prank back in one of their first ever April Fool's World of Warcraft. They had patch notes. They would like put out an entire patch note of just like hundreds of changes to the game. And one of them was we have attached a global cooldown to every ability. Because like previously there were a bunch of things that you could use that then like you didn't have to wait for other things to be done and you could use those abilities. And at the time there was like an uproarious like, oh my God, this is so stupid. Like,
that would be such a bad idea. That would be
such a bad game experience. And that's actually how the game is now. And they just did that very recently. And then at one point there was an add-on that was created called Gear Score, which basically applied a point value to every piece of gear. And this was used as a stand-in for people to judge other players. So if someone was like, hey, do you want to come to my dungeon? You need to have a gear score of over bleh, right? So so Blizzard made a April Fool's prank where they – I can't remember what they what the actual acronym was, but it made the word E-peen. Okay? And they were like, this is your E-peen. And then it was like a bar that was next to your character. And the stronger your character was, the longer the bar got, right? And it was like a really tall, like vertical pole kind of like coming off your character. So that way people can just glance at your character and see how long that E-peen is. Mm-hmm. And then that's how powerful you are.
Stand next to each other and, you know, compare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, at the time, this is a hilarious joke because under no circumstance would the game just boil down your entire character into a single number. Except that's exactly what it does now. They have a thing called item level, and that's just a number. And then if you don't have a high enough item level, people won't bring you to their groups. And that's built into the game, right? So, you know, I think there's a certain amount of foresight you need to have to make a good
– But I wish some of the fun April Fool's things that they made jokes about got in as opposed to, you know –
Yeah.
As opposed to the ones where like, oh, that would ruin the game. And then it shows up.
And then people are like, this ruined the game.
What about just the, really, just the weird shit? You know?
Yeah, I think the ones that are the most fun to me are actually from tech companies because also like the less you know about tech on the one hand, but also because people come up with really crazy shit that often sounds fake anyway, but that isn't fake. Mm-hmm. So that when it comes to like Google, for example, and some of their stuff, I always have that moment where I'm a little bit, I'm like, is this real? This has to be a joke. But also, you know, I still remember, like the first time I was baffled by one of these was one of the first Google ones. Mm. And I don't even remember the details, but it was the idea was they're going to turn sewer systems into like an internet access point. but their way of doing it, of presenting this was so fucking elaborate and so detailed with and everything was so straight-faced and like that I saw this thing and I knew it was April 1st, but I was also like, nothing, like I'm almost 100% sure this doesn't make sense.
Too real.
And this can't be real. And it is April 1st. But also.
But I feel like this is a perfect opportunity. Because like as a company, if you're like, okay, here's the thing. We have this idea. It's insane.
Yeah, yeah.
It's truly insane. But if we can pull it off, it would be amazing. But we need to see how people feel about it.
Do a market test on April 1st.
Test on April 1st because the response at that time is never people aren't pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Instead, you often get this response where people are like, ha, ha, ha. But then you get a fraction of people who are like, actually, I kind of want this. Which is how I felt about the Corsair game launcher.
There were a lot of people who
if you look at the YouTube comments, it's like one in four people in YouTube comments were like, but can I have it though? Like, I do want a launcher for my launchers. So maybe it's, you know, it's just market testing. Let's get on to one final question. This question comes from Irish Luck. What can I do to better my chances of getting into the beta for Levelhead? I have already prayed to Cthulhu, and I don't know if it worked. What other rituals should I perform? So,
none will help you.
Ritual tips?
None will help you
because we're not doing a beta.
We did an alpha.
That's a good point. Forgot about that. Alpha went so well that we were like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So this
we're
is
just a, doing internal testing.
This is an interesting question because, you know, what's the difference between an alpha and a beta? Why do you do them?
Well, we should also say we originally called the alpha because we were going to do a beta.
Correct.
So that's why it was an alpha when really it ended up being the beta.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the way that we've always kind of thought about it internally is like alpha is a sort of like a proof of concept and early pass on looking for major core problems with the game.
Whether that's a design problem or bugs.
Right. And then the beta is essentially
what you intend to release. You just want to make sure it's fine.
It's a spot check looking for any weird edge cases and stuff like that. So we actually kind of did that because we did our pre-alpha and then we did our full alpha. Our pre-alpha was with a smaller closed group of people, about 20 people. And then our alpha was a couple hundred people. And those were contiguous. Like the pre-alpha just led right into the alpha. Mm-hmm. But really it was more like an alpha and a beta because the game only crashed once. Mm-hmm. And we did come across some issues during the pre-alpha, like with the game physics and stuff, that we had resolved by the time we got that bigger group in. So really, it was kind of like we did an alpha and a beta in a 10 right in a 10-day period.
But also really early access is beta.
Yes.
Which is
the game is in beta
yeah.
during early access. It's not a 1.0. So.
And we're going to have a beta channel inside early access.
Oh, that is true. Yeah. So if you want to get access to early
early access. And the idea here is that we're treating the early access launch as a real game launch, right? We're going to make sure the game is as stable as we can make it, that we trust what we put out, and that it's polished and all that kind of stuff. But of course, a lot of why we're doing early access is to be able to test the new things that we're doing and the changes that we're making. And so we are going to have, I believe, an open beta channel, which will basically be the bleeding edge builds. So any given build as it works its way through the pipeline is going to hit our internal QA team first. They'll do their checks. If it passes, then it'll go into the beta channel.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll sit in the beta channel for an unknown period of time as anybody who's opted in there will get to use it. And then every once in a while, one of those builds, one of those ones that have been in beta will now actually graduate and become the sort of production build that everybody has access to. So if you want that bleeding edge stuff, you'll actually be very, very close to what our internal QA is seeing if you're on that beta channel.
Yeah. Now, we will be withholding some things for larger content drops. Because one of the things that we learned in all of our research about sort of how games do live ops and stuff like that is even though we can develop content – I mean, we do develop content at a continuous pace, right? So we don't like one day develop 20 new items for the game. That takes time. And it also takes testing and everything else. What we learned is that – if you deliver that stuff on a continuous basis, then people weirdly don't care.
Well, they also can't keep track.
They can't keep track. Yeah. Well, that's why they don't care.
And there are also just too many active versions that are slightly different of the game out at once, which is then just weird.
Yeah. So we'll need to, even though we're going to be working on content continuously and working on new updates and bug fixes and all that stuff, we're going to be deploying it a little bit less frequently. Mm-hmm. So there will be times where you'll be getting like changes on that beta branch, and then all of a sudden the beta branch will be wildly different from what's live. So if you do want to sort of like be on the bleeding edge of that kind of stuff and see what's coming, then that would be where to be. However, that's where there may be bugs, right?
There may be bugs
anywhere because, you know, the whole thing is beta, right? Mm-hmm. But that's just that's an option for every player. So we'll probably have more information about that. Whenever Level Head becomes available, which who knows? I certainly don't. All right, that's all the time we have for this week. We'd like to thank our producer, Fat Bart, for making us sound good. Thanks to our community moderators who keep our Discord running. To get more involved in the Bscotch community, you can go to podcast.bscotch.net, where we've got merch, which is running out quickly.
The merch purge!
Because it's all on slashed prices.
Still not quickly enough. We want this out of here.
Yeah, get it out of here.
Please buy it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Please clap. We also have links to the community Discord, a way for you to donate, and links to the podcast archives all over at podcast.bscotch.net. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.